broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
People on the West Coast are learning, are hearing, perhaps incorrectly, that
we
there's a
we are serious about this, and we do have to follow the law, just like a plastic
well,
gun.
Well, look, Andy, obviously, we are going through...
The outrage here is that we are having to do this because the majority...
I like Wiener.
I'm vibrating off my seat.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, y'all. Anyway, every night we take you through the looking glass and beyond. Radio for patriots by patriots. Because we can go places other talk shows can't go. They wish they could, they want, but they can't. If you don't believe me, just ask them. Welcome to the show. Tonight we have Jay Santos with the Citizens Auxiliary Police. We're going to be talking with him about the role of auxiliary police, police leagues, assistant police, and these new apps. There's an iPhone app that allows your phone to flash red and blue lights. Well, that may sound like a lot of fun and a lot of kicks, but some of life's more bored souls take that and they go around in their car and they try to pull people over, if you can believe that. Then we have a revisiting of the Reagan years, the anti-nuke years, with Dr. Ron Tarner coming up in an hour. That'll be interesting because Dr. Tarner has done some fill-in at middle schools in the Denver, Colorado area, and he is a decidedly anti-nuclear scientist. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. A whole bunch of other stuff to get to tonight. A reminder that we're online at philhendryshow.com, live streaming video of our show. As a matter of fact, we're online right now with our special Phil TV in HD feed. This is a high-definition feed. Tonight, we have our camera, which is basically trained on the interior of a nightclub that we have here at the El Pacifico. It's not often used, but on Saturday nights we open up. Right now it's empty, but we wanted people to take a look at the dance floor. That's the dance floor there, and the bar is over to the left. And then, of course, we also have our network feed, so we can show you some very interesting video. Head on over to our shop where our best of CDs are, our shot glasses. It's all there. Get a backstage pass, philhendryshow.com. And our affiliate spotlight tonight in Dallas, KFXR 1190 AM. Great people in Dallas and in Bozeman, Montana. These guys are fun. The great people at KBOZ 1090 AM. We follow them on Twitter. We follow those cats in Dallas on Twitter. And we're at twitter.com/realphilhendry. Authorities say a smartphone and a dumb idea have landed a 21-year-old Idaho man in trouble with the law. Boise police say Alexander Welch is charged with unlawful exercise of the function of police after officers said that he used a cell phone app that flashes blue and red to try and pull over another car on Saturday night. So this is a cell phone application. He was trying to pull over another automobile on a Saturday night. A motorist called police to report that someone who didn't appear to be an officer tried to pull the driver over with a flashing blue and red light. That person said the car pulled in behind briefly, then drove away. Well, police caught up with this nut and ticketed him. Jay Santos joining us from the Citizens Auxiliary Police in Torrance, California. Jay, you're not I know that you bristle a little bit at the idea that when I say you're not a real police force, but you're not, right?
No, we are an auxiliary police force, and what that means is that we are able, when we can, to support the police and to exercise the control of a citizens auxiliary police force, all police. I don't know how else you want me to explain that. If you say that we're not an official police force, what you're saying is we don't have the right to detain. Well, the Constitution of the United States does allow us to detain individuals if we have to. It does allow us to, if need be, it does allow us to make a citizen's arrest and so forth. So I don't really know how to answer that question, and I know that you and I have sort of gone right around on it, and as well as you and your listeners.
Well, all right, but you can't arrest anybody and lock them up.
We're not interested in that. Let's put it that way. Like I said, we could have a very interesting discussion and go round and round. We're not interested in that. What we are interested in is making sure that our community, Citizens Auxiliary Police of the South Bay, whether it's the Gator Brigade in Florida, we have the Beaver Battalion, which, of course, is run by my brother, Walt, in Portland, Oregon. New York Simulated Police, the West Texas Range Riders. We have any number of auxiliary police units in and around the United States of America. So that's why we say that we are, we consider ourselves to be an official arm, at least, of the American people in trying to enforce and protect people. We're on the front line of law enforcement, let me put it that way.
Yep. Well, you're on the front line of law enforcement. You guys don't carry weapons, do you?
Of course we don't, and we have no need to carry weapons. We feel that we are, I don't want to talk, but I'll just put it this way. We don't need weapons that maybe other officers need.
All right. On the 2nd and 3rd of February last month, you were out along with a couple of members of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. You were in a vehicle of some kind, a Suburban. Was it a marked car?
We have on both sides of the car magnet signs, which will indicate we're Citizens Auxiliary Police.
Okay, and so you were out testing, you say, a red light.
That is correct. That's a light that we use in case of emergencies. And we wanted to use this light, this red light, to see if individuals would yield for it. If they do not, of course, they're not breaking the law. We're not interested, really, in pulling people over. But we are interested in pulling people over if there's a danger. But we needed to see whether or not people would yield the red light.
So you're using a red light. You have the red light up on the dash. And I believe you were able to pull over a number of people, only to say to them what?
Well, we pulled over. We had the red light on. I'm not really sure what you're getting at here, though.
What I'm getting at is I just read the story here about this man with this app, iPhone app. You guys are out there with a red light pulling people over.
Well, if you're comparing it to the man with the iPhone app, Phil, it's kind of insulting because I'm not out there trying to get my jollies.
I understand that. Because you're not really a police officer that pulls people over, that's going to give anybody a ticket, why do you have that red light?
We have that red light in case there are emergency situations where we need to get traffic out of the way. We will turn that red light on, and if individuals can yield, all the better. Anything we can use to try to get an individual to yield, of course, all the better. But we certainly don't want to scare anybody or have anyone think, I'm turning on a red light, that means I'm going to give out a speeding ticket. I don't have no interest in that.
All right, you don't have any interest in giving out a speeding ticket, but nonetheless, you had this red light. You were pulling people over. And what would you say to them once they pulled over?
We would approach the car. I'd introduce myself. I'm Jay Sanis with Citizens Auxiliary Police. We're just testing out some equipment tonight, and we appreciate very deeply your cooperation, and that would be it. And we would get in the car.
Right, and you would get back in your car, and sometimes these people would just sit there stunned, wouldn't they?
I don't know what they did.
Well, I mean, that was what the story in the newspaper, and then there's the story in the paper there about this gal, and we'll get to the Cindy Bliss story.
Well, the Cindy Bliss story... That, you're going to find, if you're going to take her side, you're going to make a little bit of a fool of yourself, Phil, because...
Well, what I want to find out here is, you got a red light and you're pulling people over, but once you pull them over, you get out of the car...
Yes, we got out of the Citizens Auxiliary. What we had was basically a paddy wagon, a Citizens Auxiliary Police paddy wagon.
And well, it was a Suburban, wasn't it?
I don't know to make the car, Phil. It's a Citizens Auxiliary Police paddy wagon.
Okay.
And we were out on patrol, and...
And what does it mean when you're out on patrol?
It means that we are in our vehicle, and we are driving and looking for any kind of suspicious activity, which we have deemed, using a sort of a hypersensitivity, was suspicious. I don't know if that's good enough for you.
No, that's fine. Okay, so you guys are out. Now, on this particular night of the 2nd of February, you're testing out... this light.
That is correct. And we were turning the red light on behind cars, pulling them over, getting out, approaching the car, and telling the individual, thank you, we were testing equipment, and a tip of the pith helmet, and be on our way. See, I'm a little uncomfortable with the questioning here, because it sounds like you think that we're some kind of freaks, which is exactly what we got into with this Carolyn Bliss girl.
Well, her name is Cindy Bliss, but that's the thing. This woman would not yield. Is that correct?
She did yield, but we
No, but initially you guys followed her because she wouldn't yield.
No, we turned the red light on. We noticed that she did not pull over. We decided to try a blinking red light, and she would not pull over. Okay? And we've had individuals not pull over before, but what we tried in this case to see if we could get her pulled over with a different light. She finally did pull over. And it was at that time when I got out of the car and I went down to talk to her, I was subjected to homophobic comments. I was insulted. You know, I don't really know if you're going to take her side. And
well, I'm not interested right now in what she said, and we can get into that, but I'm just trying to figure out here. You're pulling people over just to see whether your red light works. Now, let me just give you to you straight here, and our number is 877-876-PHIL. You know, we have police officers, and we have a constitution, and we have a...
Bill, listen.
No, and we have a Bill of Rights, and when individuals, Jay, such as yourself, decide that they're going to form some auxiliary police force or some other kind of security force that is not, is not recognized by the state of California, and you are out there trying to pull people over, you're going to have people very frightened, possibly pulling a gun on you or a weapon. Has anybody ever pulled a weapon on you?
Look, Phil, you're getting a little dramatic here.
No, has anybody ever pulled a weapon on you when you've pulled somebody over with this red light?
I can assure you, Mr. Henry, that we know how to take care of ourselves, and I'd be very, you know, if I was another individual, I would not pull no weapon on a citizen's auxiliary police officer. And
all right, but I'm not interested in how proficient you may be in defending yourself. Has anyone pulled a weapon on you?
At this time, I'm not aware of that happening, no.
All right. What you're doing is you're violating the rights of drivers.
Now, Phil, you have to do a little listening here, okay?
I've been listening.
All right. This woman called us queer, gay. She said we looked like fairies this, fairies that. She said that we looked like we're... She really... I mean, it was the most anti-gay. It was totally homophobic. I've got members of my Citizens Auxiliary Police Subcommander Unit. They'll testify that.
Well, are you gay?
No, I'm not gay.
Well, then it's not homophobic, is it? She's just trying to insult you guys.
It most certainly is homophobic, because if we are not gay, but she was saying gay, anti-gay. And so it was insulting. It was then that she took off without our permission. And
she doesn't need your permission, man. She didn't, you know, that woman was entitled to take off and go wherever she wanted to go. Now, did she pull into a police station?
She did, yes.
And what did you do?
You know, you're skipping over.
What did you do once she pulled into that police, wherever that was, that subdivision, that substation?
We decided to peel off. And
you decided to peel off?
I'm going to make a point here, Phil, and then, you know, you say or do whatever you want to do. And I'm going to tell you something right now. Citizens Auxiliary Police may be a lot of things, but I don't have to stand there and hear someone call me a fairy, queer, gay boy. I don't have to stand there and hear someone say that because I'm testing out a piece of equipment. And she did not yield, okay? And so instead of using the bullhorn, which we've used before as a bullhorn. And
what do you mean the bullhorn?
In the past, we have gone up, but we've driven past individuals that haven't yielded, and we have said, you know, it was no big thing. We're just testing a red light. You know, you're not, you know, we don't care if you don't yield. Something like that.
That's what you're saying in the bullhorn.
That's correct. And when she didn't yield, you know, we decided instead of using the bullhorn, we'll try different lights. And she did yield. And then she called us gay and everything else.
And when she pulled into a substation, a L.A. County Sheriff substation, you peeled off.
Yes, we did. And I want to say something else. That's not because we were afraid of the police.
No, I'm sure it wasn't.
Mr. Henry, I'm telling you, it's not because we were afraid of police. Not because we were afraid of anything like that. It's because we decided, discretion being a better part of valor, that this woman having called us gay and queer and everything like this, I was going to go home and write a letter to the watch commander over there at that substation, let him know we were dealing with.
You were going to write a letter to who?
To
the police officer that runs that substation?
That's correct.
What substation was it?
I was West Hills, L.A. County Sheriff.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL. This is Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. You know, it's one thing if you want to form a volunteer police unit, a neighborhood watch, I don't know. But when you're out there with a red light and you're out there with a green light and you're out there with a little pretending you're a cop, you're going to get yourself killed. You're going to scare the living daylights out of other people. You could scare the living daylights out of another cop. This is a very dangerous situation, folks, very dangerous. And Mr. Santos there claiming the protection of the Constitution to utilize the Constitution citizens' arrest powers You know, we don't need more cops necessarily. We need professional police officers. We need very, very well-trained police officers. We don't just need bodies that are out there with their playing with their red lights. 877-876-PHIL. World famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back here from the El Pacifico. 877-876-7445.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline. Dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Radio for Patriots by Patriots, and you can hear as Americans decide to move toward a future where we are more self-sufficient, self-reliant, a future where we do not demand as much from a government. It isn't so much the government is trying to demand of us, although we do get those kinds of governments, don't we? But we don't want to demand of the government as perhaps we have in the past. Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. We're going to get to some calls here, Jay, but your organization started as a response to Barack Obama, didn't it?
No, it did not. Our organization started during the Clinton years, 1996, but I will tell you this. When President Obama said that he felt that what we need was more involvement by the citizens to create a civilian or citizen defense force, that is a citizens being alert, citizens keep their eye open. Of course we responded to that, and we did up the ante. We stepped it up. We acquired more equipment. We have, as I say, we have lights, and we, you know, there's a lot of things that we do. So you're trying to make this sound like...
Was there damage to a vehicle?
There was damage to our vehicle, yeah.
That was caused by her trying to get away, right?
Her trying to get away. We said, you know what, Miss Bliss, you know what, take your, you know, I said, just get away from us, you know.
Well, you guys used some colorful language in return, because it's all here in the police report. She called you guys fairies. You said, take her, here it is here.
No, that is wrong.
No, here it is here. Take your skank ass and go home. And if anybody out there doesn't know what skank means, it ain't good. It's a step down from slut.
You know, that is an absolute lie.
Did you say it?
We said it, but skank is not a step down from slut. It's simply, we told her to get her, we said, get your skank ass out of here. And that's when we followed her. And
then you follow this woman. So the effect here is that you're telling her to get her skank ass out of there, and then you follow her, and she decides to pull into that police station, and that's when you guys peel off. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to a phone call. Jillian in San Francisco on the Phil Hendry Show. Hi, Jillian. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Phil. Good to speak with you.
Hi.
You know, I'm just driving home, and I'm quite appalled to hear that there's an organization that feels that they have a right to pull people over that is not a legitimate organization, and then to be so unprofessional. You know, if you want to live a double standard, that's exactly what you're doing. I do not support this because I, for one, have been attacked, and I can by a man, and I tell you, if I was to have some red lights flashing, if I were to pull over, of course my heart rate's going to go up. I'm probably going to start sweating and think, you know, what
right.
did I do? And then to find out if it's not a police officer, you can bet I'm going to be defensive. And this guy is asking, you are asking
ma'am,
for,
ma'am, I just want
you're
to
asking for
right,
big trouble.
I just
you're
say
putting
something.
Yourself in danger. No,
well,
you
first of all, I just want to say one thing. Well, I mean, first of all, we're not forcing you to pull over. We're not forcing anything, you know.
Well, you got the bullhorn and yelling at them if they don't.
No, with the bullhorn, we say, okay, all we
what
want you to do is pull over.
How much can people see in their rearview mirror? The first thing they're going to see is a red light. So, you know, if somebody can see more than a red light, then they're not going to pull over. But then you go and you chase people down. Yeah, you know what? My heart would be palpitating. I would be worried.
No,
and you can
get,
I would go straight to the police and report you as well and get you off of the street until you've professionalized yourself and until you are doing a legitimate business.
Well, you know, I think that this is really sad because, you know, you're calling from San Francisco, okay? In San Francisco, you know how many people jump off that Golden Gate Bridge?
Are you kidding? I see it every day when I commute. I have no problem with the citizen's arrest. I have no problem with the citizen's arrest.
I stop people from jumping off a bridge. That's what I think.
You'd stop what? I didn't understand that.
I stop a people.
The Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Jay Sanos with the Citizens Auxiliary Police is with us here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show as we talk about the auxiliary or support police and the fact that, Jay, you do support President Obama's idea of a so-called civilian force of defense people or police people, and meanwhile you've got this red light and you're pulling people over. You ran afoul of the L.A. County Sheriff.
We didn't run afoul of the L.A. County Sheriff. What happened was a woman who we were trying to just see if we could get her to pull over with the light. It was a red light. We didn't go in the car. We didn't ask for anything. She pulled over. I got out. I said, you know, you pull over with a red light. And it's kind of, we're just testing it out, and we use a bullhorn, too. Now, I mentioned that last lady from San Francisco, and I mentioned, I think with good reason, because I said to her that every day people are throwing themselves off a Golden Gate Bridge. If we had a Citizens Auxiliary Police up there, and we do have this, you know, we have a SEAL battalion, but the SEAL battalion...
What is the SEAL battalion? Is that a San Francisco...
That is an auxiliary police unit up there, yes, sir. And we have a SEAL battalion, but they don't operate along the bridge here because that's between Sausalito and San Francisco. But if we had a unit there, we could use that red light and get people just to stop and think, to pull over. They're not in a car. I mean, they're going to jump off the bridge. But that red light, okay, you know, stop and pull over, you know, as in pull your emotions over.
And you think you guys with that red light, huh, would get people to stop jumping off the bridge?
Well, you know, it's better than sitting here and criticizing me and calling me a fairy and the words I use.
877-876-7445. Back here on the Phil Henry Show with Jay Sanos. Here is Paula in Alaska. Hi, Paula. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Jay Sanos. Go ahead, please.
Hi. I had to call in because I had to respond to this man. This is the first time I've called in to respond to anything like this. So, but I feel very strongly that this man is way out of line. As a single woman that travels alone a lot and travels long roads and long stretches of road, if I were pulled over by him for no reason and he had no authority to do so, it not only would frighten me, he would be in danger. And not,
well,
I just can't see the reason for this.
Well, ma'am,
I don't see what
we're trying to do.
He's working under.
I'm trying to, first of all, we want to see if we're able to get people to pull over for our red light. That gives us one more tool in our fight against crime and our fight against, for instance, if someone's being kidnapped, if you were being kidnapped and we knew the car you were in and we use our red light and the individual pulls over, even though we are not necessarily a full, you know, fully, I don't know how you want to say it, police force.
You mean fully accredited police force, you know? I mean, given the, you know, the state of California approval and all of that?
That's correct.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we're talking about here. So suppose you turn your red light on and this lady here, Paula, has been kidnapped, and the guy in the car decides the cops are on my tail, I might as well kill her.
I think that's far-fetched. I think you're reaching there. I would simply say to Paula not to worry, and if you're driving, you see us, and you pull over, all I'm going to do is say, tip of the pith helmet, thank you very much, ma'am, and we're on our way. But that lady didn't do that. She looked at me and called me a fairy, and so naturally, then she takes off, so naturally we want to follow her to maybe get her to apologize. I don't know what. You know,
you're going to follow that lady to get her to apologize? Man, you just pulled her over for no reason. Probably scared the hell out of her.
Well, you know, the lady can laugh if she wants to, but we're living in a time now where our budget cuts are creating a need to have more, you know. There's one city that I know of that they're cutting back on the police and everything.
Well, I've heard of that, yes. But what if we're gonna replace police with some sort of a citizen force? They've got to have some better training than that, Jay. Thank you, Paula, for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Better training than walking up and saying, "Okay, we were just testing our red light out," and then the lady pulls into the police station, and then you peel off. It makes you look even more guilty.
Now, how does that make me look guilty?
Well, you said you peeled off.
Yes, that's a normal police procedure. Go ahead and peel off. I mean, there's a lot of different. You don't know much about police, but you can either spread out, you can peel off. A lot of police terms. And I know that you're a conservative. You're not an Obama fan, Mr. Henry, but Mr. Obama said that this is a great time to try out something like this, the Citizens Auxiliary Police. You know, and so.
Well, I never heard him say try a Citizens Auxiliary Police. I heard him say things like, you know, a volunteer force of people that clean parks and stuff. Here is Terrence in New York, listening on WWRL. Go ahead, Terrence.
Yes, hi. I'm just listening to everything that's going on, and it sounds to me like, what's your name, Mr. Santos?
My name's Jay Santos, yes, sir.
Okay, well, it sounds like you're upset over the fact that someone didn't submit to your authority, which you don't have in the first place. I mean, it's like, where does this end? It sounds like you're trying to justify a hypothetical situation of possibly saving somebody by breaking the law. I mean, if legitimate cops break the law sometimes they pull people over without just cause. So if you have citizens who are also breaking the law, I mean, where does it end? I mean, you say that
I'm not breaking the law. If they pull over, fine. If they don't, fine. I'm not going to don't pull over. Well,
you just said you chased them down with a bullhorn.
But apparently it wasn't fine, because if it was fine, then you wouldn't have followed that woman. So apparently it wasn't
here's
fine.
Here's what we were doing. When she didn't pull over the first time, we decided to try another technique with the light, blinking it. So it wasn't that we were, you know, trying to get her to yield. If that failed, then we were going to just pull up next to her with a bullhorn and say, you know, ha-ha, the joke's on you. We didn't want to pull you over anyway.
Wait a minute, but
what do you mean, ha-ha, the joke's on you?
It sounds like that is a form of terrorism, which you're engaging in.
What?
You're terrorizing
people. Are you kidding me?
I'm not kidding you. Because
let's get real here.
No, I'm being very serious.
I'm not taking over no airplane.
Wait a minute. Can I get a word in here? When somebody is driving and they get pulled over by legitimate police, that automatically heightens their sense of fear. Okay, people are afraid as it is. I mean, when legitimate cops pull them over. So if you have renegades such as yourself who have no authority to pull people over, I mean, this is just, what is your justification?
Pretty. It sounds very pretty, but there's few
holes. It's not a matter of it sounding pretty, sir.
I mean, the fact is that we've got a nuclear power disaster.
Wait a minute.
I better pull over because it might be a nuclear bomb. That's ridiculous.
That's not what the man's saying.
With your line of reasoning, where does it end? I mean, if you get a new taser gun, what are you going to test that out too?
No, sir, because I didn't lay a hand on that woman. I didn't lay a hand on that woman. All I did was turn on a red light to see if it would get her pull over. She didn't pull over, so then we blinked it. Then we got out and we said, okay, we're just testing a light, ma'am. We didn't mean to scare you. And that's when she says, you guys look like a bunch of fairies and gay this, gay that, F-word, you know, and all that.
You said you didn't mean to scare her, but you did. The point is
we're trying to do.
You should know that you're going to scare a woman with a red light at night behind her car. I know women that get scared to death when cops come up behind them with the red light because they can't see the cop car. You know, I had a friend of mine. She was followed off a freeway with a red light. She's going, who the hell is this? I haven't been speeding. I haven't been doing anything, you know.
So, well, that woman should be recognized what a police officer looks like.
Can I ask you a question?
You're standing there with your Suburban, man, and you got your... go ahead, sir. I'm sorry to interrupt.
I was just going to ask your guest a question. Do you all carry firearms?
No, I do not.
I don't carry any firearms.
I don't need them.
I'm just trying to get to the root of this, because if you're following
hurry up
people,
a little bit,
you
I'm
said
sure Mr.
that
Henry has other callers.
Wait a minute.
I'll control
Let me
the
ask
callers.
You said hypothetically you want to stop crime in action.
Two,
so if somebody,
three,
if say four, somebody supposedly
five,
robbed a bank. and they're in a getaway car. You're going to follow them and pull them over. They're not going to stop. But if they did stop, what are you going to get out with? They've got guns. You don't have a gun. What are you going to do?
We have certain self-defense techniques.
Against a gun, but you don't have a gun. What are you, Superman?
Well, no, I'm not Superman, but there are certain things you can do that can throw off people. Maybe pretend like I'm a tourist. Ask them for directions.
Against people who have
You're
guns.
A tourist that just happened to have a red light on their car and they pulled you over.
They didn't pull me over.
No, I mean, you are a tourist and you have a red light and you pulled them over.
What you do is you confuse, you separate and confuse. That's one of the first things you do. You pull them over. Yeah, you know, excuse me. If you ever saw, that movie, I forget which one it was. It goes, excuse me, you know where San Quentin is? Yeah, it's up there. Don't you see too good? No, I just want to know if you knew where San Quentin was. See, you confuse them. And
you're quoting some Clint Eastwood movie.
That was it, yeah. That was called, Magnum Force.
So
what has that got to do with real... Anyway, I got to take another call.
Question.
I appreciate your call, sir. No, I got to get going. Wow, 877-876 Phil. I think we got time for one more phone call, but I want to ask Jay. Is Jay on the line there? Bring him back up on. Jay, you there?
And everybody else is talking about that.
Jay, hold on for a minute, okay?
What?
What do you mean? Excuse me.
That was what Clint Eastwood in the movie Magnum Force. He's confusing the hood. There's a hood driving a limousine, and the hood thinks it's a cop, but then the guy asks him where San Quentin is like he's a tourist, and then the hood thinks it's a tourist.
Yeah, it's a tourist. Two guys with shades, and they're in a car with, you know, black wall tires.
What?
They don't, no way they thought they were cops.
Well, I'm just telling you, excuse me, because San Quentin's up there, don't you see too good? And that's when Eastwood goes, no, I see fine. I just want to know if you knew where it was.
I know the movie.
Well, then why do you make me go through it?
That's what you call confuse and divide?
That is a technique used by smart police officers. I don't know about any other kind.
877-876-PHIL. One more phone call before the break, and we'll continue with Jay Santos after our break. This is Adam in San Antonio, listening on KRPT. Go ahead, Adam.
Yeah, I want to know about the legality of this red light. I know in my area as a volunteer firefighter, we are not allowed to have lights unless it is a specific color, specific type, and it can only be used in an emergency situation. So I want to know the legality is of this.
What is the legality of it, Jay?
Well, the legality is if you have a red light in your car, which mimics a police officer red light, which is what they call a cherry or a cherry red light, that's against the law. However, if you have, for instance, ours, is it like a beet red? Or we use an off-red beet red or a satin? That is legal.
And what do you mean beet red? I don't understand that.
It's a darker
that
red.
That doesn't cut it because the color codes for lights are base colors, orange, white, blue, red, not the shades of the specific colors.
Well, I don't know what you mean. That's for lights, the traffic lights. But
and you're not a state peace officer. You should not be having emergency lights.
I can have. It's not an emergency light. I'm not expecting anybody to pull over. See, that's where you guys don't get it. I turn on a red light. If they pull over, great. If they don't, it's humiliating. Yeah. And
what do you mean humiliating? Are you telling me that you expect them to pull over, and if they don't, you're humiliated?
You're going to. Well, if you're a police, if anybody calls themselves an auxiliary police or real police. You want them to pull over.
Well, you're not a cop, man.
It still hurts. And so what you do is you use the bullhorn to say to them, you know, you didn't have to pull over anyway. Here's the bullhorn. Get on power, expert.
I didn't understand
that. You're just on a power trip, dude.
No, sir. Not at all, sir. We're trying to save lives.
You're trying to show that you have more power than anybody else on the road. And what you're really doing is taxing everybody in your community by having the officers there have to go and patrol for you when they could be going out and stopping real criminals who are actually doing dangerous things instead of causing more problems.
No, I mean, they don't have to pull over, okay?
No, they don't have to pull over, but then you follow them with a bullhorn and you tell them, hey, you know, thanks very much for your call, sir. 877-876-PHIL. Hey, you know, you didn't have to pull over anyway. We didn't want you to pull over anyway. And if they don't pull over, it hurts. I mean, that's the thing. So they, yes, they did follow that lady. And once again, God knows what the, well, on the Phil Henry Show, Radio 4 Patriots by Patriots, we do not look down our noses at volunteers. The thousand points of light that George Bush the Elder talked of, all of these things that we think make our country a very special place. But we don't want people volunteering and inserting themselves into the system that's going to put other people at risk. That kind of volunteer we don't need. We'll be back with our final segment here with Jay Sanos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Next hour, Ron Tarner on nuclear energy. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, Radio 4 Patriots by Patriots.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
They don't pull over, and of course you're going to be hurt. Your feelings will be hurt.
Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Join us online at philhenryshow.com. And we've got live streaming video of the show right now in high definition. And with us is Jay Sanos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police here on Radio 4 Patriots by Patriots. Jay Sanos is talking with us about the Citizens Auxiliary Police, the use of this red light. And you've heard of the Red Light Bandit, correct?
Phil, of course I did.
All right. Well, this man, Carol Chessman, who went to the gas chamber, who committed these murders using a red light, I mean, this has happened down through the years. And you guys, you know...
I really resent being compared to a guy that's trying to get some kind of a sexual thrill out of having a red light going over and playing peekaboo with people that are, having sex or whatever in a car, but... You know, I will tell you, Phil, we have used the red light. We've had people take off on us. We don't follow people. We don't chase. Yes, we do follow. But we don't follow them to get them to pull over. We follow them to...
That's not true. You said that you did.
Excuse me. Hold on. We follow them to tell them, okay, you didn't pull over. Big deal. I mean, I hang out the window with the bullhorn, and I tip my fifth helmet to them, and I say, we aren't trying to pull you over anyway. We don't care. Now, that lady that you're talking about, Cindy Bliss... that was a slightly different situation in that she eventually did pull over, but when she did, she then launched into a homophobia. We were subjected to homophobia. She called me a fairy, said I look me up and down like I'm fairy. She said we look clown-like or clownish, said homophobic. I put the words down here. I wrote them down. Homophobic, clown, fairy, gay. Then she took off again. She pulled into that police station and we peeled off. You know, we obviously feel we have a case. And
yeah, but the whole idea that she's homophobic, you guys are the ones that were chasing her, and I find it to be kind of, you know, pardon me, but I don't think that it's quite that gallant to when she pulls into the police station for you to peel off. Here's Patricia in Atlanta listening on WCFO. Patricia, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
I'd like to know what motivates you and what is your true objective if you have any kind of light.
What's that, ma'am?
Where are you coming from?
What we're trying to do is we are a Citizens Auxiliary Police unit, and we want to see if the red light will get people to pull over. If it does, then we can use it in actual emergency situations. If it doesn't, we discard it and move on. If people do pull over, then we'll go up and say, you know, we're just an experiment, and we say goodbye and thank you very much. But that lady took off. When she called me a fairy, and that, you know, naturally all bets are off.
Are you working through a sheriff or a marshal or a city police department using all of your gadgets that you're using?
I understand. That's not really how we work. We're an independent unit. We don't necessarily like to subjugate our command under another command structure. And so...
So you guys are out there just operating on your own?
That's correct. We're not at odds with anyone, but we don't like the politics of the police station, and we would rather just do our thing in our own time.
Okay, so you mean at your leisure you can just go around flashing your red light and stopping anybody that you you intimidate to the degree that they stop. Right?
Well, I wouldn't use the word intimidate. I mean, we put on a red
light. Are you getting a kick out of it, or what's your objective?
No, I'm not getting a kick. I mean, if they don't pull over, I don't know if you're a police officer, but when people don't pull over for you, it hurts. It hurts bad. You know?
It hurts who? Who does it hurt?
If it hurts the police officer, obviously you're going to feel hurt that people are not respecting your authority.
Well, wait a minute, man. You don't have any authority.
You're not a police officer.
But still, I used a red light and they didn't pull over, and that gets to you.
And you do this for no pay. You get no pay for doing this, for aggravating people.
No pay? What's no pay?
No pay. No pay.
No pay, what is that?
No pay. Do you get money?
No, we do not get
money. No pay, okay. All right. I wish that you, if you have that much time to devote to assisting the police, that you would go through the police and work with them. Because I think that you're causing... Because I think you're causing more trouble than good.
I know, but you're hurt when someone doesn't
come over. Phil Hendry.
You didn't address that. I feel very hurt.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
You know, we, comedians, we can get inappropriate to make people feel bad.
The crazy part about this whole thing is that the complaints
this
are done.
This was a schoolboy prank that was taken a little bit too hard.
She indicates that she had been rear-ended.
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Where truth is our bitch, and where we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. This is Radio for Patriots by Patriots. And we ask you to join us every night. We're not just, this isn't just an exercise in one night, then the next night, then the next night, then here's the weekend. No, this is an inexorable march to the future. Welcome back to our show. Dr. Ron Tarner joins us this hour to discuss nuclear power and the disasters. And I say disasters, I should not overstate the combined disaster, I guess, of the failing nuclear power plants there, the results of this terrible earthquake, the tsunami. It's all it's a bane that the Japanese people have to somehow shoulder and fight on, and I know that they will. PhilHendryShow.com is a great place to go for our live streaming video of the show right now. We have it in HD on Phil TV. Check it out. We have a new show on Phil TV in HD debuting on Sunday. It's called Hendry on the Beach. And that will be about 30 minutes of my thoughts, feelings, and other inappropriate exclamations from the sands, the sunny sands of El Pacifico. Join us Sunday afternoon for Hendry on the Beach right there on Phil TV in HD. Now, in the story that we have right here, Japanese military helicopters dumped loads of seawater onto a stricken nuclear reactor on Thursday, trying to avoid full meltdowns, as plant operators said they were close to finishing a new power line that could restore cooling systems and ease this terrible crisis. U.S. officials, speaking in Washington, meanwhile, warned that the Fukushima Daiichi plant in northeastern Japan may be on the verge of spewing more radioactive material, because water was gone from a storage pool that keeps spent nuclear fuel rods from overheating. The troubles at several of the plant's reactors were set off when last week's earthquake and tsunami knocked out power and ruined backup generators needed for their cooling systems, adding a major nuclear crisis for Japan, as of course it dealt with the twin disasters of the earthquake and the tsunami. And it's just an unbelievably difficult situation for the good people of Japan. The entire world not only stands viewing this as witnesses to history, but also the world stands ready to help the Japanese people in any way it possibly can. Joining us is Dr. Ron Tarner from the University of Denver. Dr. Tarner is also an astronomer. He's also, at times, a middle school teacher. As a matter of fact, Dr. Tarner, I know that you have been called on to do a little high school and middle school teaching of late. How's that doing?
Well, it's always a challenge, and I have not taught high school or middle school films since I was in school myself at university, and I was using my teaching credential to offset some of the tuition costs. It's particularly interesting with this situation, Phil, because this is an opportunity for me, and I haven't had this opportunity since, oh my goodness, it's been about 30 years, for me to speak to my students concerning the nuclear energy and the absolute danger of nuclear energy, Phil. I'm not trying to start a political engagement necessarily, but I think when you have young people who are there and you walk into that classroom and you see them and they want knowledge and they are interested in hearing what you have to say, and you know that you have a great chance that was really taken from you by a president by the name of Ronald Reagan. When you look at the faces of those children, and
what do you mean? I don't mean to interrupt you. What do you mean that was taken from you by Ronald Reagan?
Well, let me finish my point. When you look at the faces of these kids, and you can tell them about the poison that nuclear energy really represents and the danger that it does, and there's no Ronald Reagan standing there to, you know, Phil, I know that you hold Reagan in very high esteem, but I have to say this. There's no Ronald Reagan standing there ruining your life.
How did Ronald Reagan ruin your life? This is really interesting. I got to know this. Ronald Reagan is considered one of our great presidents, if not one of the greatest, one of the top five presidents that this country has ever had. How did he ruin your life?
One of the top five. I think it's giving Ronald Reagan quite a pat on the back and quite a station in history for a president to be one of the top five, and also a man who contributed. I don't want to say that he did, but he contributed to the ruining of my life as well as a great many others.
How did he ruin your life?
Well, I'm not saying Ronald Reagan himself, but the tone that was set by Ronald Reagan. When he was elected president, we had in this country a viable anti-nuke movement. A great many musicians were involved, I remember, Phil, if you remember those days.
Yeah, I remember the anti-nuke movement. You're talking about Jackson Brown?
Jackson Brown, Bonnie Raitt, John Hall from Orleans. A great many musicians were involved in the anti-nuke movement and the no-nuke movement, and then Ronald Reagan was elected, a conservative president who decided that the country had bigger issues and we were essentially choked off. It was as if our voices were stolen from us. And the country embarked on a 30-year program of reinvesting in the nuclear idea, if not necessarily the nuclear plants.
Well, the construction of nuclear... Yeah, I was just going to say to you, the actual construction of nuclear plants... is not the... To hear you talk, Ron, you'd think that like every year we were building one.
No, but the philosophy, I'm sorry, Phil, and I don't mean to sound like... I don't mean to sound like Barbara Boxer, please forgive me, but I do prefer to be called Dr. Tarter, if you don't mind.
I've called you Ron... All right, Dr. Tarter. Very good.
If you don't mind, I apologize.
Okay, I forgot what I was going to ask you.
Well, you were asking me about the nuclear energy, and I was...
Oh, yeah, the plants, the philosophy of nuclear energy was obviously reinvigorated, if it was ever really in trouble.
We had a chance back in the late 70s, early 80s, of destroying the nuclear concept, and Ronald Reagan came along...
Yeah, you had a chance, yeah.
And Ronald Reagan came along and ruined... Boy, I get emotional about it, you know.
Well, Ron, let me just say this. You know, I remember the No Nukes movement. I remember that. I remember the No Nukes movement as being something that, because of Three Mile Island, people decided they would jump on that bandwagon, and the country had changed. People were no longer into demonstrations, anti-this, anti-that. We wanted to start moving things forward. As you know, I'm completely pro-nuclear energy. My brother served on a nuclear submarine. Let me ask you about that. What do you think of that?
I think about what?
I had a member of my family who served on a nuclear submarine. A submarine, nuclear submarine.
Well, you heard of the Thresher, right?
Oh, well, I heard of the Thresher, yeah. I've heard of the Scorpion. I know that there were subs that we haven't had in this country, in the United States, we haven't had a problem like that, an incident like the Thresher or the Scorpion in a long, long time. And I'm talking about my own brother was on a nuclear submarine in the early 60s when all that stuff was happening. I mean, that powers our sub fleet today. We ain't going to go to wind power.
Well, look, you know, Phil, if you want to put your sailors and your service people and your military people at risk, you go right ahead.
And I'm not putting anybody at risk. This is what we use as the fuel to drive a nuclear submarine fleet, the United States nuclear sub fleet, second to none in the world, and that's where that's at. Now, today...
Well, let me tell you what we got today. What we have today is this problem in Japan, and that's what I wanted to get to. And I don't know if we have the time now, because you've sidetracked me. I really wanted to start talking about my class. And
all right, I apologize. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Go ahead.
Well, I'm going to go ahead, and then you're going to say you have a commercial break, right?
No, go ahead.
The young people in our class, in the middle school class that I'm teaching right now, this is a great opportunity for me, and I don't have the specter of Ronald Reagan hanging there, like almost like Jacob Marley.
All right, can we get off of Reagan?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to, excuse me, I don't want to hurt your feelings. Can we stop talking about Ronald Reagan?
Fine. Right. I have the chance to tell these young people, and I did, that what is happening in Japan is the beginning of something that could be terribly serious for the entire world if we do not get our hands on it and we do not immediately not only contain, but then roll back the mania and the badness that has taken hold of this world for building nuclear power plants. Now, what is going on in Japan is that we still have the possibility of multiple meltdowns. And I brought in pictures, Phil. I don't know if you got, but I showed you the photos I showed the class.
Yeah, you showed them pictures of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. That's got nothing to do with nuclear energy.
Yeah, oh, boy. Boy, where do I begin with you?
Yeah, no, wait a minute. What is Nagasaki? What is a mushroom cloud, Nagasaki and Hiroshima? What has that got to do with nuclear energy?
Are you kidding?
I understand that those are nuclear bombs. What has that got to do with a power plant?
That is the bottom line. That's the bottom line terror. That is the that can happen. You can have all the nuclear energy you want. Your brother on a submarine, nuclear power plant at San Onofre. You can have it at Fukushima Daiichi. But the end result is that mushroom cloud over Hiroshima. And I told the students that. And I was shocked when one of the kids got sick. I did not.
I don't blame the young person.
Is that right? Well, I also had one of them come back. A couple of the kids called in sick, and I took the phone calls. And the parents, our son, I said, you have got to begin to instill in your children something a little tougher than what I was witnessing yesterday in classroom. But I'm telling this kid, these kids about the nuclear power and the fact that they're throwing up or that they are worried that there's going to be a nuclear bomb. And this young boy, Taylor Winston, you heard about him, right?
No, I didn't hear about Taylor Winston. We're going to take a break here in a second. Who is this?
He's one of the students that argued with me.
This is the boy that you struck. I want to hear about this before we take the break. I want my audience to hear about this.
And the melodrama, Phil, you know, you could stir it up. I'm going to let the audience know what happened. I'm talking about nuclear energy and the fact that for the first time since Ronald Reagan, I'm able to talk to young people about nuclear energy without the ghoulish, you know, I didn't mean ghoulish, but I said the ghoulish specter of Ronald Reagan. And this kid, Taylor Winston, stands up and begins to argue with me.
He's arguing with you about what?
He's telling me that I'm wrong about this, wrong about that. And so I told him to come to the front of the class. I asked him if he was wearing underwear. He said, yes, he was. I said that you are going to pull those pants down to your knees. And that's when I struck him behind both thighs.
And have you been fired?
Fired from what?
From the job that you've got, smacking a kid in front of the other students for arguing with you, the job you have at a public school.
You know, nobody yells at me.
Did he hang up? He hung up. Yeah, you know what? We're going to call him back. I'm going to get him back on the line here, and I want him to answer for what he just said to me. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. Dr. Ron Turner on the line, talking about teaching a class that nuclear energy is an evil and that he's able to do that for the first time since the, quote, ghoulish specter of Ronald Reagan hung over the classroom. And he says that when one of the kids argued with him, he smacked this kid. Smacked him. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back as we continue to talk about nuclear energy and now its effects in the classroom on Ronald Reagan and, you know, on truth. Let's talk about that. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Ron Tarner here on Radio 4 Patriots by Patriots, the world-famous Phil Henry Show on the propagandizing of middle school students against nuclear power by a teacher, Ron Tarner, who is a veteran of the anti-nuke movement in 1980, 79, 80, 81, and decided that this was a great time to bring that back.
And I resent the use of the word propagandizing.
And I resent you hanging up on me.
I don't, Mr. Henry, let me say.
All right, but even if you were upset with me yelling.
I don't like anyone talking down to me. I think I've earned enough as a educator, as scholar, as an academician, that you don't have to talk to me like I'm a gardener or a busboy who's got a serving tray in his hand, or any of the kind of people that ordinarily we bite. But I am telling you that I went into the classroom, I brought in materials to help educate the kids as to what's going on in Japan. That's not my imagination. What's happening in Japan, I didn't make it up. Ron Tarner didn't make that up. Right now, the water in reactor number 4, according to TEPCO, they're not sure how much water they have there. And they could have a full-scale meltdown.
Of course they could have a full-scale meltdown, and they're going to have to contain that, and we're going to have to do what we can to implement whatever systems we need to make sure that these things don't happen again. Do you give up on something because we've had these problems?
Well, I'll tell you something. I don't know. How many people do you want to have die?
First of all, in this country, in the United States of America, I'm not aware of, other than in actual government experiment, government research, and so on, like the atomic bomb, I'm not aware of human beings, consumers, civilians, dying as the result of any kind of accident like this.
Well, okay, what did you call Three Mile Island?
No, I don't recall anyone dying from Three Mile Island. As a matter of fact, they were afraid it was going to be a meltdown that was contained. Chernobyl, yes. I mean, it depends on the country. It depends on how fast people want to throw these power plants up. But you brought materials into that classroom to propagandize those students, to put into their mind that nuclear energy is somehow akin to Hiroshima.
No, Mr. Henry, that is an absolute lie.
No, a lie? Didn't you show me, you said this is some of the material that I am going to be showing these students?
I sent you the photograph of a mushroom cloud. I do not believe it was from Hiroshima.
Well, what was it? I'll take a look at it right now. It's in black and white, so it's either Hiroshima or Nagasaki.
Well, that doesn't, what do you mean it's in black and white?
Well, it's a black and white photograph taken from an aircraft. The only two here, I'm only familiar with two photographs ever taken of a mushroom cloud from the air, and I thought they were Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
Well, Mr. Henry, I'm very impressed with your erudition when it comes to historic photographs. I don't necessarily think that's the case. And
look at Dr. Tarner, excuse me. We could have this argument for a long time. You brought those mushroom clouds, those photographs, into the classroom.
Yeah, I did bring mushroom clouds in, Phil, okay?
I didn't say that you did. I corrected myself. You brought the photographs of mushroom clouds in to scare those students. Now a young man stands up in the classroom, this Winston boy, and he is assaulted.
I beg your pardon, sir. I used a ruler on the back of this kid's thighs because he stood there and took issue with very important comments I was making about Ronald Reagan. Now, he had been born then. I was a member of the anti-nuke movement in the 1980s. His mother called me, and asked, had I spanked or slapped her son? I said, no. She said, had I slapped her son? I said, no. She said, had I struck her son? I said, there you might have something. I said, I hit your son on the back of his thighs when he mouthed off in front of the entire class, telling me that I was all wet about Ronald Reagan.
And what did the kid say?
He said I was all wet.
Did he say you were all wet? I mean, what did he say?
He didn't say that. He said that I was wrong about Ronald Reagan, that Ronald Reagan was a great president. And he did it in front of the entire class right after I had said Ronald Reagan ruined my life. Now, understand something, Mr. Hendry.
Oh, come on.
No. You understand something. I was a member of the anti-Duke movement, and then Ronald Reagan got elected, and that was the end of the anti-Duke movement, and as such was the end of my career as an anti-Duke activist. He ruined about 10 years of my life, and I spent those 10 years doing absolutely nothing, I was living with my grandparents at the time, but I finally had to pull it together, and I got my degree. But for 10 years, Ronald Reagan had the rule of my life. So I said that to the students, and this kid stands up and says, you're wrong about Ronald Reagan. And that's when I went back there and I said, you know what? You stepped over a line with me. Get your pants down. And that's when I said, I want you to do this in front of the class because I don't want to hear anybody calling me a pervert.
Sounds to me like you got yourself in all manner of trouble, not the least of which is you are propagandizing those kids against nuclear energy. 877-876-PHIL. What do you think of a guy taking advantage of the situation in Japan to bring in pictures of Nagasaki? The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
I said, get him down.
Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Let me tell you, welcome back to world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Dr. Ron Tarner from Denver, Colorado. He's teaching a middle school class. You brought in materials. You are there to tell the kids that nuclear energy is a poison. Ronald Reagan ruined your life. I want to address this issue of you ministering corporal punishment, if you will.
That's exactly right. I would think that a conservative like you...
A conservative like me, I want to be able to punish, in my way, my children, not you. That's number one, okay? And, you know, the fact that you were bringing up this this video of Casey Haynes that Dr. Tarner brought up...
Yeah, you have been watching that video, and you've been laughing with your friends, so... Don't talk to me about...
No, that's a boy that was bullied and bullied and bullied, and we were watching that video as that kid fought back for the first time in his life. Now, I want to get back to you smacking this kid.
I didn't smack the kid. The mother called up, and she was extremely aggressive, and she was a woman with one of these voices that I think anybody would relate to me. If I could describe this voice she had, it was a high-pitched, very sharp, extremely irritating woman who was telling me this and that and this and that. And she said, and you assaulted my son. I said, grow up. I didn't assault your son.
Is that what you said to this woman, grow up?
I said to her, yes. I said, grow up. I didn't assault your son. I said, your son backtalked me in the middle of a lecture I was giving. And then she had an issue with me pulling his pants down. I said, I didn't pull his pants down. He pulled his pants down willingly. And
not willingly. You told him to get his pants down.
I said, in front of the class, there was nobody. There wasn't. See, she and maybe you, Mr. Hendry, wants to make the case that this is how I get my fun, fooling around with little kids. No, sir.
I didn't make that case at all. I'm talking about you applying corporal punishment in an inappropriate manner, punishing a kid for having an opinion about Ronald Reagan, a guy that you said ruined your life.
That is, yes, sir. That is exactly correct. Because the anti-Duke movement was on its way to some real gains, substantial gains. The No Nukes album had come out and had very healthy sales. And then Ronald Reagan came along and ruined it.
877-876-PHIL is our number here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I've got a very big problem with bringing in teaching materials against nuclear energy, and one of them, or two of them that you showed me here, Doctor, mushroom clouds from World War II. That's the issue that I've got more than anything else. Here is Neil in Fargo, North Dakota on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Neil.
Hey, Neil. That's the best, sorry. I'm listening to this doctor, and all I can say is that he's a hypocrite on what he's saying. He keeps saying, I didn't hit this guy.
Oh, really? Oh, really? I'm a hypocrite, huh? How about a hypocrite?
You're saying, oh, I didn't hit the kid. I just smacked him with a ruler. That's still hitting, and that's hitting.
No, his brother asked me, did you assault my son? I said, no, I did not.
Well, that's not true either.
It's assault with a weapon. That's what
that is. Since when is a ruler, you know, that we measure things at, what is that a weapon?
A pencil is considered a weapon. If you stab somebody with a pencil, that's assault with a weapon. It doesn't matter
what it is, it's an object
in your hand.
And what about my rights as a teacher when I'm giving a statement about perhaps something that this kid's parents don't agree with, and the kid comes in as the mouthpiece for the parents who sent him off to school that day to cause trouble, and they're nowhere around, and so he stands up and tells me Ronald Reagan was a great president. Now, I know Mr. Hendry probably thinks he was, as do most of his listeners, but I have a right to my opinion.
You have a right to your opinion, and we have a right to our opinion. If I said Ronald Reagan was a great president, would you track me down and hit me?
If you were in a classroom of mine, and I was giving a statement, and then I said, are there any, well...
Okay, so there we go.
No.
There we go. You asked for opinions.
No, I did not. I asked for questions.
Questions are opinions.
Huh? How do you figure questions are opinions? Okay, how about this? Is it going to rain today? Is that an opinion? Is it going to rain today?
Well, then that's a question.
Then that's a question. How can that be an opinion?
Whoa. Hold on for a minute. I agree with this gentleman here.
Well, of course you do. I've never been on a program yet, Mr. Hendry. Would you back me up?
You know why, Ron? Because as much as I like you, I don't agree with you on a lot of things. Now, this gentleman made a good point. If you're asking the students, and these are middle school students, are there any questions? Of course these young people are going to have opinions. They're not going to stick strictly to the guideline, the semantical definition of a question. They're going to have a lot of things going on.
Well, they may have a lot of things going on, but when I'm done with them, they won't have anything going on.
Whatever that means. Thank you very much for your call, Neil. 877-876-PHIL. The number here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-NEIL. I got to remember to start banging these lines. Excuse my French, but I've got to do it on the... There we go. Here is Colette in Louisville, Kentucky on the Phil Hendry Show. Colette, go ahead.
Hi there. I would like to address a comment to this gentleman on the phone here.
Yes, ma'am.
You say you're an educator, and that's fantastic. Sure. If you're not sitting there using your position as an educator to push your own personal political agenda onto the minds of other people's children. That is not what the arena of a classroom is for, sir. That is not what that's for. You're there to educate our children.
Yes. And let me ask you, Colette. You know, we have right now in the world today no greater example of the poison, of the murderous poison of nuclear energy. And
whoa.
May I answer the lady's question, please? May I answer her question first?
Go ahead.
We have an example of the murderous, decaying, and mutilating power of...
Whoa, come on, man. What mutilating...
Okay.
How many people... You know, sorry, Ron.
Wait. You know, you really don't give people a chance.
The people that have died in Japan have been from tsunami and earthquake.
Thank you, and that is exactly what I was going to say. And I did not pose a question to you, sir. All I was particularly saying here was that you are abusing your power as an educator by pushing your personal beliefs and agenda onto the minds of other people's children. There's no question here, sir. That is what you're doing.
Wait a second. I'm a scientist, okay?
Yes,
and the science is in on this. We know that global warming will eventually murder everything on this planet. And I use the word murder because we do have a chance to stop it, and we won't. And
wait a minute, what does global warming have to do with this?
Absolutely.
It's interconnected. Ma'am,
so
I just heard a duck.
Here's my
what is
thing,
that, a duck?
Sir, here's my question to you now. I have a question to you, sir. If you are so much of a scientist and an educator, are you posing both sides of nuclear energy to these children? Or are you only pushing those things that work to benefit what you believe, to make them believe what you want them to believe, or are you showing them both sides of what nuclear energy's positive effects can be,
I'd be happy
as
to
well
answer
as the
that.
Negative?
I'd be happy to answer that, but I heard a duck or something in the background of your phone call, ma'am.
No,
are you trying to make fun of me?
Did, sir. No, sir,
well, no,
I don't believe you heard a duck in my phone call.
There was nobody in the background of my phone call.
And
well, I want to know, Mr. Henry, if the woman is trying to make fun of me.
No, there was some sound that might have happened on my line, Ron. Please answer the lady. And you know what? I'm going to just bring this up, if you don't mind, Colette.
Maybe I mind.
Well, I want to bring this up. My kids took science. They took biology from a creationist biologist, all right?
Mm-hmm.
However, and I called this guy. I said, that's real great that you're a creationist, and that's fine. I want to know that my kids are learning the science of evolution because they have to get into a UC campus. And he said to me, yes, Mr. Henry, we are teaching the kids all the science. I happen to come from a micro-evolutionary belief, which is a creationist belief. But yes, we do teach Darwin. We do teach evolution. That's a well-rounded approach.
Isn't that nice? Well, that guy, you know what? I'm not a hypocrite and a liar. I'm not going to come on like a Bible thumper and pretend like I believe in Darwin. I believe that
there's no point in calling the man a Bible thumper.
And I think you're missing. You're missing the point of what you just said to you, sir.
Ronald Reagan destroyed my life. Now, why can't I have an opportunity at some sunshine?
You absolutely have that right, sir, by calling into radio shows and writing a paper, but you don't have the right to tell other people's children that he ruined your life because of this particular topic being the absolute horriblest, most worst, most awful thing that there is. That is not the venue for you to voice your personal I don't even know the word I'm trying to think of.
Almost like it's a trauma.
First of all, I believe, and all we have to do is look at Japan to see that we could have a catastrophe of human terms that we've never seen before.
Okay, yes, we could. You're right. It could be a very, very terrible thing. We could also learn to cap it and learn to control it, and at some point use it in a safe way. Now, I mentioned nuclear subs. You think that that's baloney?
No, the nuclear subs are fine. I just told you the Scorpion and the Thresher, and you wanted to blow over that.
My own flesh and blood was on a nuclear sub, and he's fine today.
Oh, will you stop already? You know,
I'm not going
to
stop.
It seems to me that every time a valid point is brought to you, you cover up your an educational response or an educated response with, please, someone's making fun of me.
You just said, with my very educationed response. That's not even a word.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
I've got 8 years of school. I've got 8 years of higher education. I've got a doctorate.
And I can obviously tell by the comments that you made about gardeners and busboys that you believe that makes you better than most people.
Exactly. Yeah, that was no
from
kidding.
The things that you said.
Are you trying to tell me that a gardener is the same as me? You can't reasonably believe
Just because you are 8 years of higher education, that makes you a better person and a better and more intelligent human being than somebody who chooses to garden or bus tables for a living.
Yeah.
All I'm trying to say is, reasonably, you're an intelligent woman. You tell me a Puerto Rican busboy has something in common with me?
Being a Puerto Rican busboy. Sir, you are making yourself sound more and more like an idiot. Your higher education is doing absolutely nothing for you right now but making you sound like an idiot.
Yeah, Ron, you know, we're talking about science.
I'm getting a little sick and tired of being ganged up on.
Hold on. And I want to thank the lady for her call. I'm going to move on. Thank you very much, Colette. 877-876-PHIL. Thank you very much. Ron, you have points to make, and you are an educated man, but I'm listening to you talking about busboys. Then I heard you bring on Ronald Reagan ruined your life. You got bomb pictures. Hold on, man. You can't reasonably expect that a Puerto Rican busboy is equal to me. We're talking with Dr. Ron Tarner, ladies and gentlemen. If ever there was an example of the arrogant scientist, and using something that, yes, is serious, yes, is life-threatening, something that is quite a challenge to the human race. But here's an interesting point. This is a form of energy that the human race has experimented with, has sought to control for many, 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 many years, for more than a century. At least from when the point in time when Albert Einstein came up with the theory of relativity, we have sought to control this energy, and I think it's not exactly fair to say because this is an energy that can be so devastating, we should just not fool around with it. That is not our nature as people. All right, I don't want to give a speech. We'll be back with Dr. Ron Tarner on the world famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Right back here on Radio for Patriots by Patriots.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
How long does it take you to get into a break?
Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back, and of course our news hour coming up with Robert Leonard and Bud Dickman at the top of the hour. We have with us Dr. Ron Tarner from the University of Denver. As we talk about nuclear energy, the terrible events in Japan, and his teaching a middle school class in the Denver area. Now, I want to ask you this question, Doctor. How much of this problem you had with the school has to do with the fact that you are ordinarily teaching in front of college students in a lecture hall?
You know, Phil, I don't like being questioned because I'm not really there to have people poke holes in my theories, although at the college level, you're going to have someone stand up thinking that they're smarter than you, and they're going to try and take a life's work and tear it to shreds right there in front of the students, their fellow students. That's all fine and dandy. I've been through that. But to have some kid who's 13 do it, I think my reaction was I was shocked, and then I knew I didn't know of anything else to do than to smack him. Now, you just played again that video of that Casey Haynes kid who picked that little boy up and body slammed him. And I will tell you this, had there not been anybody around, I wouldn't have body slammed this boy, but I would have been tempted. And I've watched the Casey Haynes video. I've probably watched it myself about 50 times as a form of catharsis for me. Because when I see him body slam that kid, I'm thinking of that loud... Well, I better not.
You're thinking of the kid that asked you the question?
Yes, I am.
And body slamming him, huh?
Yes, I am, but I didn't do it.
877-876-PHIL, as we talk with Dr. Ron Tarner about nuclear energy, although we've been getting into a lot of other discussions. Here is Hillary in Naples, Florida. Hillary, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, please.
All right, thank you. I've got something to say to Dr. Turner. I mean, I'm a liberal, and, you know, as scary as nuclear
Tarner. Tarner.
Okay, thank you, Doctor.
Okay, as scary as nuclear energy is, what is a good alternative? I just want to ask him, what is a good alternative? Clean technology.
Well, we have the proven hydroelectric. The proven hydroelectric.
That which necessitates oil.
Excuse me, can I answer the young lady's question without you coming in?
Go ahead.
Wow. The proven hydroelectric. We are using now wind power, as you probably know, Hillary, in a great many states and municipalities around the country.
I live in Florida, and we've got a lot of solar energy, which is it's very much frowned upon. And I'm big into alternative energy, but I've got to say, listen, I mean, I'm a liberal, and I think that there are a lot of other opinions out there, and I think as liberals, we accept
those other opinions, and we don't close them off.
I want to ask you a question. Hillary, this is Phil Hendry. I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to ask you to hold on for a half a second while I do something that I should have done. I'm going to put her on hold there, and I'm going to bring Hillary up on the opposite line. Okay, Hillary, go ahead. You're a liberal, but you do believe in other opinions that you were saying. Go ahead.
Well, I do. I think as liberals, we do believe in other opinions and voicing those other opinions. And I think those opinions are what makes a democracy, and to silence those opinions is very much against the liberal view.
I've heard it all down. You're a liberal.
Yes.
And you're, Hillary, listen.
Yes.
What I did to that boy in that classroom today is what essentially Ronald Reagan did to the anti-nuke movement. Pulled our pants down.
Oh, come on, will you? Grow up a little bit. Ronald Reagan didn't have anything to do with that. He was elected in 1980, but I don't recall him doing anything to your anti-nuke movement.
He didn't. What are you talking about? The entire attitude of the country changed with Reagan.
Well, then that's the attitude of the country. And the country was ready to move on, and they didn't want your anti-nukes, you know? And Ronald, what did you, pulled your pants down and what?
That's exactly what, in a figurative way. He yanked our pants down and said, take a look. He's not wearing underwear. Bang, bang, bang. And I'm just asking Hillary, you know, look at what's going on in Japan. Look at that.
Wait.
What
is that?
You know, that's, look at what's going on in Japan.
Yes.
Every Christian soul is being contaminated with the nuclear energy.
Yes, but we've got to have fail-safe. We've got to have fail-safe. I mean, if you look at it and you think of, you know, what happened in the Gulf just recently.
Uh-huh.
I mean, seriously, we've got to have fail-safe put in place. We've got to have these safety measures. But we can do that if we just put them into place. There's no such thing as clean coal technology. I think we all know that. But coal they're going to totally use this as major.
What's happening now, every Christian soul in Japan is...
And by the way, they're Buddhist. They're not Christian. What are you talking about, every Christian soul?
No, I didn't say anything about Christian souls.
No, he's saying every Christian soul in Japan what?
Every Christian soul in Japan is going to be contaminated with radioactivity. Although now you're telling me they're Buddhist, so I don't know what...
Phil Hendry.
Every Buddhist soul will be infected.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
They do have side effects, and if you're really taking them to avoid the risk of it.
Well, our homeowners association has decided to...
When I went to school, what happened if you did something like
Democrats
this?
Democrats will work with Republicans.
You blew it!
World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. This is Radio 4, Patriots by Patriots, and we'll go anywhere. We go places other talk shows wished and prayed and hoped they could, but they can't, they don't, they won't. And they know why, because I'm the boss. Hey! Anyway, welcome to our show. It's our news hour here with Bud Dickman.
How you doing, everybody?
It's great, Bud. And Robert Leonard. Robert, how are you?
I'm good.
And lots and lots and lots of crazy stuff to talk about, crazy news and crazy events. Our website, philhendryshow.com, is the strong right arm of the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Go over to our website, and you can pick up live streaming video of this show right now in HD on Phil TV. We will be rolling out a new show on Sunday afternoons called Hendry on the Beach. It'll be just like a 30-minute journal. But for now, our radio show in HD on Phil TV, and you can get a backstage pass and watch the show right now at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. We also have been, from time to time, bringing in feeds on Phil TV from CNN. We brought in a feed from NHK, and we also brought in the video, and we've been watching it, of the body slamming that went on in Australia, the two students that got into it, and one of the students picked up the other student after so many I don't know, weeks and months and some people say years of having been picked on, this child decided to take matters into his own hands and body slammed this other kid. This went viral. It was all over the planet Earth. It was on YouTube. It was on my tube. It was on everybody's tube. And we've been sitting here watching this thing, Bud, right through the whole show.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. You can't get enough of it.
I like seeing that, man, because that kid, he got picked on, you know. Well, he did get picked on. Now, the interesting thing is, and I would ask people to join us over at Phil TV if you have a backstage pass. Although, you know, it's I can't really, it's media. You know what I did, man, is I don't know. But I tell you what we'll do. In our next break, we will roll the video, and you guys who are just joining us, or you may want to go online yourselves and pick up a look at this video. Essentially what happens is a smaller 12-year-old boy walks up to a bigger 16-year-old boy, and when I say bigger, more wide than tall, and he begins to sort of shuffle around, do a little Muhammad Ali, and he pops this kid, this 16-year-old kid, with a right hand. I mean, he punches him in the face. And then he starts throwing a few more jabs. The larger 16-year-old kid isn't doing anything. He's raising his arms to block these punches, but other than that, he is keeping his ground, holding his ground, not doing anything, while this other child is taunting this boy, very obviously, for the whole world to see. Now, whoever was taking the video apparently was friends with this little skinny punk who was causing the trouble, because you could hear him saying, "Hey, get out of the background. I want to videotape this," all this stuff. So finally, the big kid has had enough. He grabs this little skinny kid, raises him above his head, and slams him right onto the cement. And you watch this skinny little punk get up and start limping around like he doesn't know where he is. He's in a daze. The big kid backs off. Some other kid moves at him like, hey, you know, you body slammed my friend. I mean, this boy is by himself. This kid's name is Casey Haynes. And finally, a girl looked to me to be an older girl, maybe in one of the older classes, came over to the kid that was moving up on this Casey kid, and she said, "You know what? Back off." And the other boy took off. So this was a boy who'd been bullied, apparently, according to his friends, a lot. And today, on this videotape that went viral, you see him really strike back at a bully. And even though the kid is smaller, and even though the kid is 12 and he's 16, you can tell that this larger boy is not a hostile or aggressive person. And this little kid, he's got the what we used to call, and maybe we still do, the little man syndrome.
Oh, yeah.
I know about that. Robert, you probably know about it because you're so big. You ever have a little guy want to pick a fight with you? All the time, man. All the time. But, you know, in a bar or something like that, you got to be careful, little guy. The little guy is who you got to be careful of, exactly, because they got something to prove. A lot of these little guys got something to prove. The little man, the Napoleon complex.
What do you call that?
Because Napoleon, the general.
I'm not familiar with him.
You don't know who Napoleon is?
I mean, I've heard of the name, but I don't know about him.
He was a general in France. Wow, man.
You don't know who Napoleon is? I heard about Napoleon McCallum and stuff.
Not Napoleon McCallum. Napoleon was a French general. And he was the emperor of France. He was the biggest, baddest cat in you know, at that time in history. And he kicked ass, and he beat the Germans, and he went into Russia, and, you know, I mean, he finally got beaten by the Russians, but then who hasn't had their ass kicked by the Russians? But anyway, he was only about 5'4", 5'5", something like that. Napoleon was a very short man, and yet he was a very powerful man, and that's what they say, the Napoleon complex.
Oh.
So, in any event, the little guy is the guy you got to be careful of, and this is what happened in this fight. This little skinny runt of a punk comes up and starts bugging this kid till he gets his ass handed to him. Now, here's the thing that's just really made me angry, and I'm so sorry to have to tell you this, but I knew it, and as soon as I heard Rance say to me, "Well, the mother of the skinny kid has been heard from," oh, God. I guess I know it's going to be bad.
Why do you think it's going to be bad?
Because I know she's going to come out and defend her son. She's going to sound stupid, just like Joy Behar sounded about as dumb as you can sound today, when she said something along the lines of, "What's wrong with Gilbert Gottfried making those jokes about Japan? Concentration camp people made jokes about the Nazis. Have you ever in your life heard anything even approaching that level of dumb. I mean, that's a whole new world of dumb, man.
I don't get it.
I'll explain it later. So the emotional mother of Richard Gale, this is the name of the little runt that was pushing around a big kid. Her name, Tina. She talked to an Australian television network called The Seven Network last night, and she said that she and her family have been victimized by the footage, which has spread worldwide. She also demanded an apology from the victim, who was the bully, who was the kid being bullied. She wanted an apology for her son. We don't need this posted everywhere, she said. I would like him to apologize. She said she was shocked at her son's behavior, but did not think he deserved to be body slammed by a year 10 student, Casey Haynes, at Chifley College's Dunavid campus, St. Mary's. This is some high school system that they have in Australia. I was actually shocked because I always brought my three children up to walk away from fights, she said. No, you didn't. You brought your three children up, at least one of them, to pick fights, and that's what happened to that kid, and he got his ass beat. Now, she's talking about this video going viral. All right, let's talk about this. This goes both ways. It can be very illustrative. We can learn things. But there's also a danger, and I'm getting sick of it. I really am. I'm getting real tired of it. Every bloody thing is a big news event now. Somebody cuts a fart. That's a big news event. Someone gets into a fight. That's a big news event. Someone mows their lawn. That's a big news event. Something, anything that happens that's funny, that's this, that, it isn't just something that happened in the neighborhood. It isn't just something that people share with each other, friends share with friends. It isn't just a bit of neighborhood gossip. It becomes headline news all around the world. And for some of these blogs or some of these news sites, so-called, because they really don't know what they're doing and they have no material, they glom onto this stuff and they make it into something really big. So here's something that happened 20 years ago. It would have been a fight on a campus at a high school in Australia. We never would have heard boo about it. How many fights did you see as a kid in school? Imagine if there'd been YouTube then. When I was growing up, I saw fights all the time. That's the way kids are. That's the way young men are, young boys. You see them, you're in a few of them yourself. And okay, and that's that, and you know, you get pissed, you cry, whatever happens, and that happens, that's the end of that, you move on with life. But today, a kid has to deal with this. Not only is he just being a kid, getting into fights, working things out, socializing, he's got to see this stuff on YouTube, all over the planet Earth. And I think that that's worse.
Yeah, but people think that's good. Then you learn all about how stuff is and everything.
I think it's worse.
Why?
Because I think it is far worse to overpublicize these things. I think you do just as much danger, and I think you do, excuse me, you do just as much damage, and there's just as much danger, I think, in making every bloody thing we do the business of everyone in the world. I don't think that's healthy at all. And I think if you want a reason why we may have kids that are, you know, reacting in a strange manner, or, you know, perhaps even creating events so they can put it on YouTube, it's because of that. There's some kind of instant gratification, instant recognition. You become, you know, a superstar for 5 seconds or whatever it is. But I don't think it's anything bad.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, that bully tape, a lot of people back that kid up.
Look at. Let me tell you about these people that back up that Casey Haynes kid. You know, the people that started the Facebook group. They're the same people that started the Joe Stacks group. Where's Joe Stack now?
Who's Joe Stacks?
Exactly. Those people are not supporters. They're not friends. They're fans, and they'll be bored in 5 minutes, and then they'll move on. It means nothing. They wouldn't know Casey Haynes if they fell over him. Maybe they were bullied as kids. I don't know that it's going to motivate them to do anything. I think it's a lot of hot air, and it's a lot of bravado, and that's about it. You know, look at the twittering about Egypt and Iran. Now we got Libya. I guess you can't change Muammar Gaddafi's mind with a tweet, so all of a sudden Twitter is just quiet about that, and we're on to other things. Rebecca Black and this kid. Meanwhile, the people in Libya fighting for their lives, that's the end of that. Gaddafi is going to crush that revolt. And I didn't hear anybody, not even Fat Ass back there in Flint, he didn't peep. He didn't even offer up a kielbasa belch in support of those people.
Man, that'd smell bad.
You got that right. So that's the story there, Casey Haynes. So in the break, maybe we'll get that video up. Bud, did you find out where it is?
I don't know, man. You turned it off and everything.
I didn't turn it off. I just got off the website. All right, coming back, Joy Behar makes a bizarre and stupid defense of Gilbert Gottfried. Wait till you hear this. Plus, Rebecca Black continues to soar in popularity. This is Radio for Patriots by Patriots. We'll be back. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And welcome back here on Radio for Patriots by Patriots, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We just, for the edification and enjoyment of our audience, just rolled the Casey Haynes video one more time on Phil TV. And I have to tell you, I it's hard for me to look at two children engaged in a fight and root for one over the other. But I'm like so many of you. I suddenly am back being a kid. I remember. And it doesn't matter how big you are. There was always a kid bigger. And it doesn't matter how you know, maybe proficient you were with your fists. There was always a kid that thought he was better. And so it went. And watching that video, I don't see anything wrong with it. Now, I know it's gone viral, and that means that there's a lot of people who are aware of it. And it's probably embarrassing to the participants, embarrassing to the families. But, that stuff goes on all the time. And the schools don't do anything about it. Here's the thing. You know, bullying doesn't cause school shootings.
What? What are you talking about?
Just shut up. Bullying doesn't cause school shootings. Ever since somebody got into their head that they were going to talk about bullying being the cause of these school shootings that were happening in the late 90s and the turn of the millennium, it suddenly is a part of every bloody conversation having to do with this unacceptable level of violence on campuses, high school campuses, when a kid shoots another kid. He was bullied. Bull crap. Bullying's not fun, and it shouldn't happen, but it's got little, if anything, to do with children that bring guns to school to kill other people. This is the equivalent of the conversation we had in the early 80s when we said guns cause violence. Guns do not cause violence. Bullying doesn't cause murder. A bent, warped mind, a brain that is not firing properly, a brain that has no conscience connected to it. This is what causes kids to bring guns to school. But would you send me this Behar story before I just... I probably took it, Jason, and wiped with it, you know? That's what I probably did. When we talk about bullies on campus, you saw that bullying video, and people, oh, this is why they're shooting. No. And as much as I liked watching that video there of that kid slamming that other kid, and you say, oh, that was fantastic. The fact of the matter is, and this goes back to what I was saying before the break, you know, there's too much of this stuff on the internet. People are going to hyper-focus on that and say, oh, my God, look at the bullying going on campus. There's been bullying going on for a long time. Boys get into fights with each other. You're never going to be able to stop it from happening unless, of course, we come up with an even more powerful drug than Ritalin and we turn these kids into walking zombies, which is what we've been trying to do. And, of course, we don't want to do that. We've got parents that are irresponsible and about as ignorant as the day is long. They don't have any business having kids any more than they'd have business keeping a pet rat. You could just take a look at them, man. You know how stupid they are, but they've got kids, okay? So we got to deal with these jackasses. They send some kid off to school, like this kid, this Gale kid, who's a bully. What do? I guess you teach your kid how to pick up a little runt like that and drop him on his head. Are you going to get any help from the school? You're not going to get any help from the school. That's not what they're there for. I resent the fact that we go to the schools and we say, now, not only do I want you to teach my kid, not only do I want you to make my kid into the gentleman and the little lady that I cannot possibly make them into, because I can't even make myself into a gentleman or a lady. And not only that, I want you to become cops. We want you, in other words, to work miracles over there at the school because we have little, if anything, to do with our children. And some parents are just, they have a lot to do with their kids. They're just flat, lousy parents. Bullying doesn't cause that kind of violence. Bullying has been around for a long time. The kind of violence that we have seen on campuses is schizophrenia. It's psychotic. It is psychopathic. It has nothing to do with guns. It has nothing to do with guns. This idea that somehow gun control and a gun culture, it's got absolutely nothing to do with it. We've said it over and over again. Those kids at Columbine, they wanted to blow the school up. They didn't give a damn about shooting people. That was boring for them. All right? So when I see all these videos about bullying, it over-exaggerates the problem, and it makes it seem as if bullying is what it's all about, and it makes it seem as if we don't get our hands on bullying, then we're really in trouble, and if we just could control that, boy, we've got it licked. No, we don't. So I don't like seeing these videos. I don't like seeing them for a couple of reasons. I don't like seeing the kids doing that, but secondly, I can just predict what's going to happen next. Oh, God, here we go. There's going to be calls for the this and the that, and the school here, and the parents there, and and we get further and further and further away from the truth. Kids get into fights, you break the fight up, you tell the kids, straighten up. That's where that's at. Teach the kids how to behave, get them back into their studies, whatever. But these things go viral. Next thing you know, we have parents, and we have groups, and we have this, and the media, and the blood-sucking, scum-sucking, carrion-eating media. They got nothing better to do than to make something huge out of nothing. You know, all of a sudden it becomes, let's get the TV crew down there, interview everybody involved, ask all these dumb questions about bullying and so on and so forth. And The View, if we don't answer the questions on site, then we have The View to deal with. We're going to listen to Barbara and the girls, and they're going to jawjack something to death. They're going to take something that never should have been talked about in the first place, and they're going to gum flap that one until Barbara loses all of her teeth and grows brand new teeth. All right, we'll be back with that, in fact.
Yeah, I want to hear what they got to say about that.
We're going to come back with Joy Behar and The View and Gilbert Gottfried and his jokes, about the Japanese and what they're going through. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show, radio for patriots by patriots. We'll be back. 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Henry. Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
What are you doing? I'm trying to pull in the, you know what I'm doing, man. I'm pulling in some of that groovy video, man. If you go over to our website, like I say, you can watch our Phil TV stream. Right now we're streaming some video from one or two of the news channels. As we continue to follow, the story in Japan and a lot of other things that are going on. But right now, we're looking at a shoe commercial. There's an iReport from where is that?
That's an iReport eyewitness account, March 11th, Fukushima.
Oh, okay. It's the earthquake. All right, now let me say the following thing. We were just talking, by the way, about panics. There's all kinds of panics. People are panicking about this, panicking about that. I've lived through lots of panics in my life, and I'll tell you about some of them, and I'll tell you why I have no respect for panics. I don't believe any of them. I don't. I'm telling you right now, I don't believe a word of any of them. and I laugh in the face of them, and I'm also irritated by anybody that buys into them to the point where I want to smack them. All right? But we'll get to that in a second. First, Japan is being hit at all angles between the threat of a nuclear catastrophe and a number of natural disasters. That being said, is it too soon to make light of the country's troubles? Is it too soon, asked Jackie Willis of Entertainment Tonight? Yeah. Some celebrities don't seem to think so. That's because they don't really have any sense of public sentiment. Everything is internet. Everything is immediate. So if you got a joke, you better just drop that joke out there because, my God, people are waiting for the jokes. Comedian Gilbert Gottfried was recently fired from his gig as the voice of the Aflac duck after he made jokes via Twitter about the Japanese people. One of his tweets read, "I just split up with my girlfriend, but like the Japanese say, there'll be another one floating by any minute now." He later wrote, "What does every Japanese person have in their apartment? Floodlights." Gottfried apologized for the jokes on Tuesday, writing on his Twitter account, "I sincerely apologize to anyone who was offended by my attempted humor regarding the tragedy. I meant no disrespect, and my thoughts are with the victims and their families." And you know that he didn't mean a word of that.
Why did he say he didn't mean a word of it?
Because that's about the most insincere load that I ever heard in my life, and I don't buy it. Then he went on to, Joan Rivers, Howard Stern, and The View co-hosts Whoopi Goldberg and Joy Behar have spoken out in defense of the comedian's right to make the remarks. Who says he doesn't have the right to make the remarks? They just fired him for it, that's all. Do you think they're supposed to keep his ass employed? What is wrong with people?
What do you mean?
Nobody said the cat can't say it, but they canned him for it. You know, actions have consequences.
Yeah, but would you have fired him?
Yeah, I would have fired him. Yeah. If I was the president of Aflac, of course I'd fire him. Of course I would. But let's say he was an employee. Let's say he was working on a show. I'd say, hey, you know, Gilbert, too soon, you know.
Well, I mean, that's different. Plus, he'd probably be the host and you'd be the sidekick.
Oh, is that right, huh? Will you? Yeah, ha, ha. Well, whatever the case, if somebody asked my opinion, let's put it that way, I'd say, hey, let's not do those jokes. Like last night, we had Steve Bozell. We told Steve Bozell, are you out of your mind? As he was, in fact, he was using some of these very same jokes. All right. That's what comedians do, Joy said on The View. There's not a word or a collection of words that describes. And Joy Behar, ordinarily I'll say something like, she's got to be kidding. You know how I'm always willing to give people the benefit of the doubt?
Yeah.
She's just real. That woman is lucky. She's got the gig she's got. She's not smart like Joan Rivers. Okay? If you want to compare Joan Rivers to Joy Behar, she's not smart. She's not funny. She does an interview show. Joan Rivers ought to have an interview show. Joan Rivers almost had the Johnny Carson show. You know that, right?
What's that?
The Tonight Show.
Oh, yeah. They didn't give it to her, though. How come?
They didn't give Joan Rivers the Tonight Show. Word is because she took Fox up on an offer to do a late night show.
That's right.
And this was in the early 90s, the late 80s, and Fox was, as you know, pretty new at the time. Fox, I think, when did the Fox Television Network start? Around the mid 80s, and their first big hit was Married with Children. And then came The Simpsons. Simpsons were a smash hit by 1990. And so that's how Fox built itself. Now, they were trying to get into the late night thing, and Fox had, I believe they did, did they do Arsenio Hall?
I don't know. I don't think so.
No, they didn't do it. Arsenio was on it. He was syndicated on, I remember him being on Channel 9. But they did have Chevy Chase. Oh, man, was that bad.
You see that?
No, I didn't see it, but, you know. Yes, I saw it. It sucked. Then they had the Wilton North Report. That was the worst. And I remember at the time Howard Stern was campaigning for that gig, which it might have been good. Now, Rick Dees had a late night show. Was that the Fox Network? Or was that was ABC? That was ABC. Fox, Tracy Ullman did not do late. She didn't do the 11:30. Nice try. Anyway, Joan Rivers got a shot at that. And then they also had Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller did a late night on Fox, too.
That's right. I remember seeing Stephanie Miller. She came running out of the bathroom one time, and she had toilet paper hanging out of her butt.
What? No, that he's right, but it was a joke. It was out of her skirt, out of her butt. So anyway, Joan Rivers took the gig, and when she took that gig, that was the end for any shot she had, succeeding Johnny Carson. And I'll tell you this, she was real good, man, when she hosted that. You guys are too young to remember. She was real good when she would sit in and be the vacation host for Johnny Carson. And that's how Carson would try out the different people that he, you know, you would think, well, who do I want to have on the show, you know? And it would be like Jay Leno was terrific. Johnny Carson or Joan Rivers was terrific. David Brenner was terrific. They had some really good guest hosts. But the job was landed by Jay because I think he wanted it more than anybody else. And Joan Rivers had just completely screwed herself. And because you did that, Joan, now we got to put up with Joy Behar. Now you're just known as the lady with the daughter and the stuff on the runway at the Oscars. That's fine, but you could have been a late-night host, the host of your own show, and we never would have heard of Joy Behar, and life would have been so much better, but no. So now we have to hear about Joy Behar. I'd rather Joan Rivers were on that show.
I don't know, man. People are afraid of her.
Why?
On account of her face. Like, she's had that kisser cut into so much, her kisser's got as much plastic in it as Barbie. Like, just the other day.
Thank you very much, bud. Did you write that one, too, huh?
You got it off the internet.
So, Gottfried apologized for the jokes, but Joy Behar said, "We react to tragedy. We? Oh, you're a comic? Okay. We react to tragedy by making jokes to help people in tough times feel better through laughter. Is that what you do? Well, you don't make anybody feel better. Gilbert Gottfried probably does, but not with these jokes. To make people feel better about what?" The only people that are feeling bad, really bad, about the Japanese situation are the Japanese. And if you tell them that, why don't you go out and get some floodlights for your apartment,
they might think that's funny.
Maybe they would think it's funny. I don't. She also claimed today, I'm sure people... Now listen to this. This is brain surgery. This is Jerome... Get me the name of the guy who played for the University of Miami. God rest his soul. He's no longer with us. And he was asked before an Orange Bowl game if they would sit down and eat with, I believe it was Nebraska, would you guys sit down at the banquet and eat with them? And he said, did the Japanese sit down with Pearl Harbor before they bombed it? Okay. Then that has long been considered one of the dumber things that has ever been said over a public, you know, airwave of some kind. Did the Japanese sit down with Pearl Harbor before they bombed it? Jerome Brown. Bless your heart, Jerome. He's no longer with us. And he went on to play pro ball, I think, with the Philadelphia Eagles. He's a very good football player. But not exactly what I would call the brightest bulb on that's a Christmas tree, you know. So anyway, make a long story short, that was real dumb, da-dum-dum-dum. But along comes Joy Behar. Check this out. This rivals that, Joy. She said the following thing. I'm sure people in concentration camps made jokes about each other, about the Nazis, about their situation. That's the way people relieve stress. You ready for that?
What kind of stress you gonna relieve in a concentration camp? Yeah, boy. And she's a Jew, ain't she?
Yes, you can say Jewish. I don't like Jew.
What, you don't like Jews?
No, I don't like you using the word Jew, understand? Jewish. Jewish.
Ain't she Jewish?
Yes, she is. Yeah, that's what they did, Joy. You're right. You're right. They made jokes about the Nazis, each other, and that's how they relieved stress in a concentration camp. To be honest with you, from what I've read, the way they relieve stress in a concentration camp is they would go out and willingly throw themselves on the electrified fence. They would kill themselves. That's what's called relieving stress in a concentration camp. Wow.
You gotta be kidding me, man. Did you really say something like that?
Yeah. And then Barbara Walters looked at her and said,
"You blow it!
Big time!" Another entertainer dishing out apologies is Family Guy writer and Sarah Silverman boyfriend Alex Sulkin. I thought she was going out with what's his name?
Jimmy Kimmel? Nah. He's got... Jimmy Kimmel's way bigger than... He can get a better girlfriend than that.
Ooh, man!
Oh, you know, watch that, man.
Wow, bud.
He can. Jimmy Kimmel's writing on top of the world, get a better girlfriend, Sarah Silverman.
Ooh.
Anyway, Alex Sulkin is a Family Guy writer. He also tweeted a joke aimed at the country, writing, if you want to feel better about this earthquake in Japan, Google Pearl Harbor death toll. Boy, that's... The next day, he offered up his condolences to the people of Japan, tweeting, yesterday's death toll equals 200, today 10,000. I'm sorry for my insensitive tweet. It's gone. That's okay. You're just a jackass. Rapper 50 Cent also been under attack after he made some quips on his Twitter about evacuating his hose from the wreckage. He tweeted, look, this is very serious, people. I have to evacuate my hose from L.A., Hawaii, and Japan. I had to do it. LOL. He later said of his comments, some of my tweets are ignorant. I do it for shock value. Hate it or love it. I'm cool either way. 50 Cent. I hate you, man. I hate you.
Yeah, he don't care. You hate him.
I know he doesn't care, so I can say it. I hate him. I hate you, you ignorant ass. How do you feel about that, man?
You really hate 50 Cent?
Oh, what is that, like, really bad to hate 50 Cent? Is that bad?
Yeah, he don't care if you hate him.
But you do, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I hate him, okay? You fine? I hate him. Hate. But this Joy Behar, she's a beautiful thing. Do you want to listen to the quote? I think we have this. And here's Joy Behar with her big fat yap. She hasn't been funny on her best day, man. She's never been funny. Never. Here she is now in defending Gilbert Gottfried. Let's listen to the context. Let's listen to the timing. Let's listen to Joy Behar.
You know, we can get inappropriate to make people feel better. Mm-hmm. I go, the type of jokes that Gottfried was doing, who was that making feel better?
Well,
those jokes, the jokes were mean-spirited. So who was feeling better from the type of jokes that he was doing as a comic?
I don't know. Maybe people who just need relief from the terror of it all. I don't know.
But I
mean, I'm sure that people in concentration camps made jokes about each other, about the Nazis, about their situation.
That's what?
When people relieve stress.
It's just like, it's what you said. You said people in concentration camps made jokes. Now, I don't know if they did or not.
I'm sure they did.
But you said people in the camps, people themselves made the jokes about what they were going through.
Here are the guys that made the jokes. Those are the guys that made the jokes. In the concentration camps, the cat that made the jokes generally said something along the lines of, that's it. The other people just heard the sound of the electrified fence as they threw themselves on it. Or if they had to stand at attention in the morning and watch one of their fellows being hanged in a gallows, or if they had to help out putting the people into the gas chamber like the capos, or pulling them out of the gas chamber as dead bodies and burying them. Ain't much time for jokes around there. You got to be honest to God. You know what I think the position that Joy Behar fills with The View? They got to have at least one clueless, dumb bitch. I mean, they've had them, too. But there's nothing that Elizabeth Hasselbeck or whatever the hell her name is, there ain't nothing that broad has ever said or any of them that even approaches how dim-witted this Behar is. And I think what's happened to her is she's had so many people blowing smoke up her you-know-what, which I think in and of itself is an act of courage to get anywhere near her skirt. And I think she's had guys like Larry King or whoever letting her host and letting her do this and letting her do that. And she's a real mover and a coming star there at CNN or Headline News or whatever the hell she does. I think she really has got herself talked into believing she's some kind of an important voice. I mean, there's one thing to say, well, every now and again I hit a good point and I'm just a part of, you know, a team of people talking, and every now and again I might, you know, but Behar comes off sounding dumber than anybody I have ever heard in my life in that position. Honest to God. I'm sure the people at concentration camp, are you really sure? Well, I'm sure they have. Unless, of course, the whole point of having her on the show is to have on some stupid bourgeois, very bourgeoisie, you know, woman of from the entertainment world, part comic, part wannabe commentator, part that kind. All right, we'll be back on the Phil Hendry Show. You better watch out, Joy, but pretty soon you're going to be saying, or maybe one of your relatives did. 877-876-PHIL. World-famous Phil Hendry Show, an honor student faces expulsion for possessing a baggie of oregano. Why? Zero drug policy, man. Zero tolerance. None of that oregano. They don't even want to have the stuff that they usually burn you with. I don't want any drugs. I don't even want the stuff that you burn people for drugs with. Just get it all out of here. Do you understand me?
Yeah, I do.
Thank you. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
All right, world famous Phil Henry Show, and welcome back. David G. Hall is on the line, our Vice President of Syndication. What's up, David?
Well, I was calling. I listened to the segment you just did there about Joy Behar. I want you to know that we got a problem, and again, I do not like coming on the program, and I don't like coming on and telling you how to do your show, but you call her a Jew. So we've got a fallback.
When I did what?
You called Behar Jewish or something like that.
I said Joy Behar's Jewish, yeah.
She's not. Now we're going to have by tomorrow morning, I figure by 8 o'clock tomorrow morning, at the latest, I'll have to shut the voicemail down. I won't be able to take any more messages. So I need some sort of statement from you.
Wait. Joy Behar's not Jewish.
No, she's not Jewish.
All right, I apologize. I thought she was.
Her name is Josephina, what is it? Bond, have you got it there?
Yeah, Mr. Hall, Josephina Victoria Achu.
Gesundheit.
What do you mean, Gesundheit?
No, that's her name.
No, it isn't. It's Achuito Achu.
Achuito. Now, she's originally from the Williamsburg section of Brooklyn. She's an Italian, she ain't Jewish, and you've been on the show calling her Jewish. Now, we're going to have not only a lot of Italians pissed off the fact that you called her Jewish, but we got the other problem. Now, I figure by 8 o'clock tomorrow morning, my voicemail is going to be jammed with Jewish people saying that this Behar ain't Jewish, never was Jewish, they want no part of it. You understand?
Okay, all right, I apologize.
Well, you better be better clearer than that. I want you making a very clear statement that Behar ain't no, well, I shouldn't say ain't no Jew, she's not a Jew.
Joy Behar is not Jewish, ladies and gentlemen. Joy Behar is Italian.
All right. So that explains why she is not the brightest bulb on the Christmas tree when it comes to the concentration camps. If she was Jewish, she might have a little bit. First of all, you should have known she wasn't Jewish.
Why?
Because she ain't funny.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, well, you were talking about Joan Rivers. She's funny. She's Jewish. You wouldn't know it because she's had her nose worked on.
Okay, I get it. So Behar is not Jewish. I thought she was.
Not Jewish. I'm going to be taking phone calls until I bleed from every... I don't know.
All right, David, this is what... I'm sorry, I apologize. I don't know why I assumed...
You assume because she's got that kind of voice. That's why you thought she was a Jew. And I can tell you right, what is that music? God, please don't. That doesn't mean I'm dead, does it?
No, it's the end of the show. Phil Henry Show produced by Jason Rantz. Our technical director is Rick Johnson. And our associate producer is Dan Northcraft here. Don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com. Live streaming video of the show every night. Phil TV in HD. Thousands of hours in our archives. And a news feed and our podcasts and our classic Phils. And we got it all going on, man. We'll see you tonight for another show. Pray for Japan, okay? And thanks, everybody, from the El Pacifico.
So she's a Jew.
You just said she's not.
She's not, that's right. She's not. I want you to make that announcement just as soon as you go on the air.
Phil Henry.